Hey, questions, comments, what do you got?
Why is that how it ends?
Weird ending, right? Yeah. I'm looking at Aaron's eyes and he's looking like, that's our ending? Very strange ending, yes.
No,
okay, we'll talk about it.
Nothing.
What else?
This is where we get Tsumi Dai from?
Correct. Correct. We'll talk about that, yeah.
The Dai doesn't seem like the goat, but it appears like it because we fast.
We fast. Okay, so we'll have to talk about why we make a fast at Adam.
It says on the left, Gedalia, the last hope.
The last hope. Okay, we'll have to discuss that. What else?
What are the details about the pillars?
Let's talk about everything's carried away. I was giving details, all the stuff that Bacon McDush and the Valley was carried away.
You think that it would be more dramatic about the Bacon McDush being destroyed?
Yeah.
It's like, it just says, they burned it and they took the stuff. Like,
okay, there is more written in Sefer Yirmiyahu, but okay.
Who are the Kastim?
The Babylonians.
Is that what they call that?
I don't know. That's it. That's a synonym for Babylonians or Kastim. What else?
Why does it recently start saying the day of the month? I feel like it's a new addition to it. Usually just says the year.
Well, it's important then. If you look at the day, you'll see it's a little bit weird. It's not the day you would expect. It's not Tisha B'Av. A little strange.
We were taught
since we're, I knew that. You're just making your way there. I mean, we're taught that basically it was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and then you read it, all of a sudden you open up the book and you go, oh, guess what? It wasn't.
Stopped burning on Tisha B'Av.
That wasn't. So we have to figure that out also. That's obviously, to me, that would have been the number one question, which clearly you're getting at. What else?
Hamas. Are they wage war on Yom Kippur?
The
10th month is not Yom Kippur.
It's not Yom Kippur.
The Yom Kippur War.
Right. When did the siege around Jerusalem begin?
Shiva Asar B'Tammuz.
Good guess, but is that what it says?
No.
Don't tell me it messes up twice.
What?
Shiva. L'chodesh Yishasish. Yeah.
When was the siege?
Oh, wait, no. That's the wrong one.
Asar B'Tevet.
Asar B'Tevet. Okay.
It's the same thing.
Yes, almost the same thing.
No, I just said Yom Kippur.
Now, however, what we don't really often think about, because we just have all the fast days in the same year, it wasn't Asar B'Tevet half a year before Tisha B'Av. It was a year and a half before. The siege was a year and a half.
It was breached, right?
Okay. Right, so we have a siege for a year and a half. Then the walls are breached.
Do they still have Chizkiah's tunnels helping them out? From the last one? Because then I feel like they would have last moved.
Well, we're going to see. Tzidkiyahu, here's a problem. In Yirmiyahu, Sefer Yirmiyahu, we see that Yirmiyahu gives Moshe Tzidkiyahu that he said, first of all, we said before, give up. He doesn't give up because he thinks that Egypt's going to come and help him. But he tried to rely on Egypt. Two of no avail. Egypt's not there, and they're of no help. So Tzidkiyahu, instead of surrendering, which would have saved the lives of many, he plans his escape. And Tzidkiyahu escapes. Now we say that he gets captured and they blind him, right? But he escapes through the tunnels. Okay, so here it is, sort of like those Nazis that instead of at the end of the war just giving up, they plan their escape. And they leave all of their, like the Nazi officers leaving their underlings to take the brunt of the attack. Tzidkiyahu, the king of Israel, deserts to save his own skin, which is very, very sad when we have leaders that care more about themselves than the nation. Sometimes we are, unfortunately, those are the leaders that we get, care more about themselves than the nation. And Tzidkiyahu is one of them. And, okay. Now, read Yirmiyahu Nun Bet Vav, and you read Pasuk Gimel again here. What does it say, Pasuk Gimel again? 52:6.
Wait, I should do Gimel first?
Yeah, read Gimel again.
On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine in the city became critical. There was no food for the people of the land.
In the fourth month of the ninth of the month, the famine in the city became critical. There was no food for the people of the land.
Hmm. Okay, so when, according to both, were the walls breached?
Whatever the fourth month.
Which is the fourth month?
Depends where you start.
Okay, we start from Nisan. We're Jews. That's what we do.
Even Tammuz.
What? Nisan? Okay, yeah. Iyar Sivan Thomas.
That's what I said.
No, you're right, you're right. I just, it was the song that threw me off.
Tisha B'Tammuz.
No, fine. Tisha B'Tammuz. When should we be fasting?
Tisha
B'Tammuz. Tisha
B'Tammuz. I'm confused.
So, you're confused. Nothing's working out the way you were told when you were in school.
It stopped burning.
Forget about burning. The walls are breached. Okay? But the thing is, Shulchan Aruch tells us that was in the first Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, it happened at Shiva Seva Thomas. And since that was closer to our time and what more relevant to us, so we, instead of having two Ta'anesim so close, one for the 9th on the when the walls were breached for Beit Rishon, and one on the 17th when the walls were breached for Beit Sheni, we have only Shiva Seva Thomas.
Kids would be like, you just fast from this.
Now, the bigger question is, we have a steer. Read again, Pasuk Chet. And you stay where you are in 52:12. Read Pasuk Chet again, Ephraim.
In the 5th month, on the 7th of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, so the 5th month is which?
Av.
And the 7th of the month, 7th of Av, what happens? Read, keep reading.
Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, Nebuzardan, the chief executioner, servant of the king of Babylonia, came to Jerusalem.
He burned
the temple of Hashem, the king's palace.
Okay, so when was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The 7th of Av. What does it say, Yirmiyahu?
The 10th of the month.
The 10th of the month. So here it is. We're like looking for the 9th of the month, and we don't have it in either place.
Well, it says here on the bottom.
Oh, what does it say on the bottom?
The temple was actually set afire in the late afternoon of the 9th of the month, Tisha B'Av, but the fire did most of the damage on the 10th.
Okay, so the Gemara says, very good. Gemara and Tanis says, they came, our pasuk says, they came in on the 7th, and they defiled the Beis HaMikdash the 7th and the 8th. And on the afternoon of the 9th, they lit the Beit HaMikdash on fire. And most of it burnt on the 10th. The Maritana says, was a machloka. Should we fast on the 9th or the 10th? Some fasted on both. They went straight. Okay? But our psak is, the beginning of it is the worst part. So that's why on the 9th, that's when we fast. But it's interesting that the two accounts of it, we don't have the 9th. Okay. Now, Gedalia was killed on what day? Pasuk Chafei?
And it was in the 7th month.
It was in the 7th month. It says, Vehi ba chodesh hashvi'i. Like ba is like with a patach, like hey hayidia. The 7th month. Most mepharshim say it was on the first day of the month. What's the first day of the 7th month?
The day after Chom Gedalia.
No. First day of the 7th month.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh
Hashanah. But we push it off.
So it's not to have a fast on Rosh Hashanah. But he was actually killed on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, but we just said we don't want two fast days in a row like that. We had Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur pretty close to each other, no?
A week. I agree, but there was a reason. Okay?
Yeah, but there was also a reason.
We said, look, I don't have to commemorate both the first and the second. I'll commemorate the second and it'll, you know, we'll think about the first. He had a separate reason. Now, Gedalia being killed. Why is he killed? As you said, it said on the side, the last hope. So if you read in Yirmiyahu, Perek Mem, so it says that the king of Ammon moves him, what was the king of Ammon? No, Bavel, moves Gedalia in. According to Chazal, Yirmiyahu had a relationship with Gedalia, families, and he convinces him to let him be the governor. Gedalia starts telling people, you can come back into Eretz Yisrael. We can start building up Eretz Yisrael. And Jews do. But then the king of Ammon gets jealous and he wants to knock out this Jewish rule in Eretz Yisrael. So he knows who to go to. You get another Jew who's jealous. He gets Yishmael ben Netanya, who came from the royal family, who felt he was bypassed. You know, if someone's going to be ruling, it should be someone from royal family. So he convinces him to do his bidding. And Yishmael ben Netanya comes in, kills Gedalia. Gedalia was such a tzaddik, he wouldn't believe the Lashon Hara. People came in and said, Gedalia's coming to kill you. Chas v'shalom. Of course he's not. And but instead of the halacha is, you don't believe Lashon Hara, but you should at least take precautions. He takes no precautions, lets him come with an whole entourage of men, no, you know, bodyguards to protect him. And Gedalia is killed, and it becomes the real beginning of the galut. See, it need not have been a terrible galut. The Jews are starting to come back to Eretz Yisrael. But with Gedalia, that's why it's considered one of those fasts that do with the Chorban. Right? people sit there and say, oh, Gedaliah, he was a big tzaddik. When he died, it's like, you know, it's like Am Yisrael and on behalf of those. But it's part of Shiva Sabatamas and Tisha B'Av and Aser B'Tevet. It's the fast to do with the Korban. This was hope that it wouldn't be so severe. But it became severe to the point that then after the appointed governor of the Babylonians was killed by a fellow Jew, no Jew wanted to stick around in Israel, thinking that the Babylonians will take revenge against the Jews. What, you killed? We gave you a leader. So everyone ran away, and that was, you know, the last glimmer of hope.
Something I just realized.
Yeah?
When you told us to look at Yirmiyahu, so I just kept reading in English, and it's the exact same thing. All right. I think it's the exact same thing. The end of Yirmiyahu and the end of our parak.
Okay, good. We're going to compare it, though, in a minute to something else. How long is Gullah supposed to last? Turn to Divrei Yamim Bet, 36, 20, and 21.
Those who survived the sword, he exiled to Babel, where they became slaves to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia began to reign. This was in fulfillment of the word of Hashem spoken by Yirmiyahu. Until the land would be appeased of its sabbatical years, all the years of its desolation it rested, to the completion of 70 years.
So we have this idea that we didn't keep 70 Shemitahs/Shemitahs and Yovels, and because of that, we have 70 years of Galut. It's an idea that we've spoken about a lot. It's mentioned over here at the end of this time period. Two last ideas. The Dat Mikra points out a very nice idea, how Sefer Malachim is the completion of a cycle. Says that the nation is formed, Am Yisrael is formed with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then Mitzrayim is involved in our downfall with the killing of Yoshiyahu, the last great king, the last chance, and also those who fled to Mitzrayim die. Okay, that's number one cycle. Number two, Sefer Shmuel begins with Churban Shiloh and ends with the Mizbeach and Harabayit. The Sefer Malachim begins with Binyan Beit HaMikdash and ends with the destruction. Once again, going in a circle. Three, Malchus begins with Shaul in Mitzvah, and Gedaliah now is killed in Mitzvah. And fourth, the first battle of the king in the beginning of Shmuel is against Nachash, who threatened to poke out the right eyes of Am Yisrael, and now Tzidkiyahu, the king of Israel, has his eyes poked out. So there's a lot of what goes around comes around. And last thing, we had this weird ending. Very weird ending. But now, let's look at the last two psukim in Divrei Hayamim. All right, where you left off. Read 22 and 23. You get a very different picture compared to what did we have in our thing? Oh, Yehoyachin was allowed out of jail and got to eat some good food. Mm-hmm. Okay, what does it say here?
In the first year of Choresh, king of Persia, upon the expiration of Hashem's prophecy spoken by Yirmiyahu, Hashem aroused the spirit of Choresh, king of Persia, and he issued a proclamation throughout his kingdom and in writing as well, saying, thus said Choresh, king of Persia, Hashem, God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has commanded me to build him a temple in Yerushalayim, which is in Yehuda. Whoever there is among you of his entire people, may Hashem, his God, be with him, and let him go up. Mm-hmm.
So what do we have over here? We have a totally different view. Now it's interesting, all Nevi'im Achronim, the Svarim that come, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, Treyasar, that's Nevi'im Achronim, they all have, Nevuot of Doom, but also have Nevuot of Geula. And yet here we end Malachim with none. The only hope is, Yehoyachin is freed. But the key to the redemption in Sefer Malachim is that Beit David lives on. Right? Instead of killing out the Malchus, we spoke about that when Yoshiyahu was saved, that could have been the end of Malchus, Beis David. The king lives on. Yehoyachin continues, and Zera David lives on. But Divrei Yamim ends with the proclamation of Koresh. Doesn't even mention that Yehoyachin was freed. So it's obvious why Sefer Malachim doesn't mention Koresh. Why? Because it didn't happen yet. Yirmiyahu wrote Sefer Malachim. Who wrote Divrei Yamim? We've spoken about this before. Ezra. So good. So Yirmiyahu couldn't write about what Koresh would do. He wrote about what he saw. Ezra already living, you know, many years later is able to say, and it gets better because Koresh allowed us to go back and build up Bayit Sheni.
So he's trying to end off on a good note.
Yes, so that's definitely right. Ending off on a good note.
No, I'm saying Yirmiyahu.
He's doing the best that he can, but right. You could say there's two separate things. You have, I alluded to this when I spoke on Yom HaAtzmaut, you had two destructions here. You have the destruction of Malchut Beit David, the kingdom, and the Beit HaMikdash. So that's what's going on. Malachim ends with the end of the Malchut. And the hope is, well, the king's not dead. And he's actually let out of prison. While, you know, sort of like the national destruction. The very young, so the spiritual. Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. But guess what? Permission is given to rebuild it. So there's sort of like two different themes. And the truth is, Bayit Sheni, we sort of had a spiritual revival without real Malchus. We didn't get to, except for a brief run, you know, where the Chashmonim took over. But for the first beginning, we didn't really rule over ourselves. And now in Eretz Yisrael, we have the opposite. Sort of have rule without the spirituality of the Beit HaMikdash. And what we're looking for, that's a combination of the two here, is the national revival with the spiritual revival, or as we say, the Geula Shleima, Amen Ken Yehi Ratzon. All right. Yasha Koach.